Hi, I'm Erica McIntyre, Jason's Connections Content Director. Today our founder, Jason Harris, will be speaking with Caroline White and Marty Hadge of Hearing Voices USA, one of over 20 nationally based networks around the world joined by shared goals and values, incorporating a fundamental belief that there are many ways to understand the experience of hearing voices and other unusual or extreme experiences. It is part of an international collaboration between professionals, people with lived experience, and their families to develop an alternative approach to coping with emotional distress that is empowering and useful to people and does not start from the assumption that they have a chronic illness.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Can you explain the mission of Hearing Voices?
The mission of Hearing Voices, the Hearing Voices Network?
Yes.
Sure. I think, you know, for me, what's really important about our mission is simply the fact that, you know, human beings have heard voices, seen visions throughout history, and that there's a lot of different ways to understand and make meaning out of that experience. You know, in our day and age, we're kind of like in a time period where people want a diagnosis for things or like a clinical label. But I know in my experience, those were less helpful for me. So I think the mission of Hearing Voices is to allow us to share our stories of voice hearing and to make our own meaning, connect the experience to maybe events in our lives or our spiritual beliefs, and to build relationships with other people as we share about ourselves.
This is Marty. In addition, trying to fight the discrimination that people face when they're identified as hearing voices and the way people are generally treated, which is, in this country, it's a pretty awful standard treatment of which I was stuck in for 25 years before I went to a Hearing Voices group and could start making sense of my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. How and when was Hearing Voices founded?
All right, so it was, I don't know the exact date, but I think it was like 30 years ago. There was a psychiatrist, Marius Rome, and he was working with a woman named Patsy Haig. And he was of the school, the way he was taught was that you were not supposed to talk about the voices and, you know, not indulge in that. And Patsy kept asking him to talk about the voices. And as time went on, she became pretty despondent and was not getting anywhere with Marius and contemplating suicide. And at that point, Marius was desperate to help her and was beginning to be willing to look outside the box. He had done everything he was taught to do, and it wasn't helping. And Patsy said to him one day, "Marius, why is it all right for you to believe in a God that you can't see or hear, and I can't talk about the voices I do hear?" And so between the fact that what he was doing wasn't helping and her questioning him, he became willing to try something different, and he began supporting her in meeting with other people who hear voices. And together, they found out that there are a lot of common themes and lots of different strategies they could share with each other. And that's pretty much how it started, was, you know, between a doctor and somebody he was working with.
Yeah, they also went on a talk show together to talk about voice hearing. And it was one of those talk shows where you could call in, and they asked folks, you know, who heard voices before to call in. And it was actually, they were really surprised to find out that it was this really incredibly common experience. And a lot of folks who heard voices had never had any kind of interaction with the mental health system or psychiatry, that they had found other ways to negotiate with their voices. They had found other ways to make meaning beyond an illness, and that they lived with their voices or had a voice hearing experience and moved on. So, you know, they went on to do further research and found that about 1 in 10 people have had at least one voice hearing experience in their life. So it's about as common as being left-handed.
And so does that mean, when did the organization Hearing Voices start? Did it start after that, or how did it keep moving forward?
So after Marius and Patsy did the talk show and found out that there was a lot of interest, they held an international meeting. And at that meeting was a man named Paul Baker, who had a relative who he had seen not be helped by the mental health system. And Paul Baker went back to England, and he started one of the first groups. And then they have these, what they call international congresses every year to share information.
Yeah, the first Hearing Voices group, I think, was started in the UK in 1987. The United States is a little bit later to the party than, you know, a number of other European nations that have had groups for years. But I think we've been around now, is it 2010? Since 2010, there's been HBN USA. And so now I think we have close to 80 full charter member Hearing Voices groups in our country.
Oh, wow. And some of it you've talked about being able to cope with. I've heard some people saying becoming friends with your voices. How do people do that and sort of learn from their voices?
Well, first off, there are plenty of people who have voices that are supportive. And at this stage of the game, that's usually what happens to me. When I need some encouragement or I'm in a hard spot, I now have voices that say supportive things to me. And there's lots of different strategies that people use, one of which is voice dialogue.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes getting to know your voices. A lot of us, like when I was in the mental health system, no one was talking about, you know, speaking back to your voices. It was looked at as a symptom. But I know for many of us, like asking voices questions, you know, why are you here? What are you trying to tell me? And also taking the time to sit back and say, you know, when am I hearing these voices? And what do they sound like? Does the tone of the voice I'm hearing remind me of maybe a relationship with a person I've had in the past? And is that something that I might need healing around?
One of the big questions that we like to ask when somebody comes in and says they're hearing voices, you know, we like to ask, when did it start and what happened in the previous year? And so for a lot of folks, something extreme happened in their lives, and now they're having this extreme experience and trying to figure out how to move through it. So the idea is that whatever your voice hearing or visionary experience is somehow related to your life experience.
Yeah, it's usually, you know, sometimes we're told, like, it's the voices themselves that are, like, a problem. But for me, and I know for a lot of people, you know, a voice is more like a messenger. It's bringing your attention to maybe something you need to heal from or, you know, some other message. Because, you know, like Marty said, I have a lot of really positive voice hearing experiences, too. That have given me support and led me in some really powerful directions. So, I mean, a group is a great place because, you know, you can talk about it and, you know, talking to other people, you know, thinking things through help you, like, make meaning and, you know, develop strategies.
And when you're being told to ignore your voices, I compare it to ignoring a two-year-old. You know, the more you ignore them, the bigger, more provocative, and energetic they are to get your attention. So now when something comes up for me, I can start paying attention to it before it's, you know, literally screaming at me, which was something, you know, in traditional services, I was taught not to, you know, just ignore it, don't pay attention. And that actually made things a lot worse for me to use that approach.
Mm-hmm. Is this approach an alternative to medication, or can it be used in conjunction with medication?
Oh, so people, you know, we believe in self-determination and informed consent. So people figure out their relationship to medication any way that works for them. And we recognize that different things work for different people. And, you know, there are times in my life when medication has been helpful. There's times when it's been very unhelpful. Because if you're so medicated that you are having a hard time thinking, it's very hard to process your experience. But, you know, Hearing Voices does not have an official position on medication other than it should be informed choice, self-determination. People should know, you know, what the long-term side effects are. So many of us are walking around shaking, you know, as a side effect from long-term use of drugs marketed as antipsychotics. And people do manage. There are people who do manage to go through this experience without taking medication. I was very fortunate. I had a psychiatrist who told me that no matter what happened in my life, I could not take Haldol anymore. It was wrecking my neurological system. And he was like, you know, I don't care who dies or what happens. You have to figure out another way to walk through life.
I'm sure there's been some criticism of this approach. What is the response to people who think that it's unsafe to listen to your voices?
I guess, you know, I would ask them why, you know. I think one thing that's really important to speak to is, you know, voices, for me, like my voices are, it's a very real experience and it's very meaningful. But, you know, sometimes voices do speak in metaphor. So I went through an experience where I was hearing a voice that was telling me that people, that I was in danger, that people were trying to kill me. And what was helpful for me was to pay attention to the fact that I was hearing it, but also thinking, what might the message be? Is it a literal message, or is that voice using, you know, a bigger language to describe something like me needing more support? So sometimes, voices say things that are extreme and make us feel scared. But I think it can be really profound if we take the time to sit and think, you know, is there a metaphor? Is there a message? Is this voice trying to draw my attention to a need I have in my life or a trauma that I've been through?
And in general, people do not use denial as a good practice. You know, usually denying what's happening is going to get you into more trouble. And the other part of it is the traditional services of all this medication has not been very successful. So why not try some other things and see what works for people?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things is that you guys, instead of saying that this is a disease, that the hearing voices is can sometimes be a result of trauma. Can you explain that to people?
You want to do a study?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's not a great deal of scientific evidence linking voice hearing with some kind of structural or chemical brain condition. But, you know, for ever since the Adverse Childhood Experience Study that came out, I think, in the 80s through the work of Vincent Folletti, people have found that there is an incredibly large correlation between voice hearing and having traumatic events in one's life. So, you know, someone with an ACE score of 7, so someone who has had 7 difficult experiences in childhood, which include a divorce in the family, a parent being incarcerated, that person is shown to be 500% more likely to hear voices than someone who hasn't had those experiences.
And when Marius has done research, they've come up with 70% of people who hear voices will identify some trauma in their life. But we, you know, so it's good to look at the context of one's life, but we don't have a particular framework that we're putting on people. So it's really up to the individual to explore and figure out what makes sense in their life and how that framework serves them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of us, you know, our voices, they're not just these random things. They're connected to experiences that we've had, or even our cultural background, spiritual experiences. So it's really good to look at, like, all the many possibilities that there are. And there's actually a great deal more supporting some of these frameworks versus a framework of simple biomedical condition.
And so it lands people who hear voices into the psychiatric system, like myself. What happened was I didn't know how to deal with my voices, and it was the distress. It was the level of me being upset about it versus the voices themselves that got me into services. Do you see the difference between the two?
Yeah, no, I think that's, yeah. I mean, so is this supposed to be in some ways an alternative approach, or is this sort of, are you hoping to become sort of the accepted sort of model that be used as we go forward with dealing with these types of issues or dealing with this of hearing voices?
Well, I would have loved it if somebody had had these kind of conversations with me when I was in my 20s instead of my 50s. And when you think of AA, and I kind of hope it spreads like that. You know, in the beginning, people said, oh, don't let a bunch of drugs get together. That'll be bad. But now it's pretty standard to tell people to go to AA meetings. And so I'm hoping the same kind of phenomena will happen with a Hearing Voices Network. As we demonstrate that, people go through it and their lives are improved and the impossible happens, meaning I'm functioning and not taking antipsychotics, which, you know, I was told that was impossible. As these possibilities come up, that people re-examine what they've been doing and have more respect for this approach.
Yeah, I would love to see a world where we can comfortably talk about our voice hearing experiences, where there's places where we can have those discussions and where people don't freak out or then try and tell others what their experience means and what they should do about it. Spaces where we can share our stories and, you know, figure things out, you know, with a supportive community, but really know that the answers are in us. I facilitate a Hearing Voices group every week within a long-term hospital. And, you know, I think it's important that we have that little, you know, pocket in there in a large institution that sees things in a certain way to have a place where people can use their own words instead of sitting and saying, oh, yeah, my symptoms came up because I have a disease and I just need to look at my meds, to really sit down and say, hey, I'm hearing a voice right now. This is what it sounds like. This is the way I feel when I hear it. And these are some strategies that I might want to try to deal with my experience. I think it's about a freer world.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely know as somebody who has some type of stigmatism as somebody on the autism spectrum, some of the toughest parts is not dealing with the thing itself. It's feeling bad that you don't feel like you fit in or that it's bad. And it sounds like that this is what a lot of this deals with as well, is taking away the stigma from it. So how do each of you – oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, we live in a world where I think a lot of us are being harmed because there's really these narrow parameters of, like, what a human being should be, how a person should feel, how they should react, how long they should feel sad, for example, if someone in their life dies. Like, there's so many, you know, parameters, and I think it's up to a lot of us to start pushing back and saying, you know, humans are diverse, and you know, there's a lot of ways that we respond to the world. We're different, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So I think you guys have sort of covered it, but how did each of you get involved with this work?
Well, I had been receiving traditional services. I was on disability, and what would happen is I would end up in the hospital, be put on so much medication that I felt like a zombie, come out, quit taking it all, and then feeling alive for a little while, and then getting into trouble. So I was in that kind of cycle, and really didn't want to live if I had to live on that much medication. I was on Thorazine, for example. And I went online and I said, you know, AA and NA had helped me with those issues. Maybe there's something out there like could help me with this, some kind of peer thing. And I was so lucky because one of the only hearing voices groups in the country was within walking distance of my house. And that's how, you know, I just came to a group. It took me a long time to even talk in that group, but eventually I went on to facilitate that group, and now we get to go all over the country and teach other folks how to facilitate groups.
Yeah, I know for me, I'm someone that spent a lot of years sort of like trapped in that place of, you know, I have a mental illness, and the thing that I need to do about it is to take a certain medication. For me, I was someone for whom antipsychotics, the drugs that are called antipsychotics, did not work well. You know, it caused a lot of struggle in my life with the weight gain and the numbing and the shaking. I'm someone that really found strength through like non-traditional support. So one of the biggest supports in my life was I was living in a group home, and I joined a roller derby team. And that really gave me a lot of strength and community. I found the Hearing Voices Network when actually one of my voices that I'm very, very close to and has led me in really great directions told me to move to Massachusetts. And I was very determined to do so. And I moved to Massachusetts from North Carolina, and I found HBN there. And it was such an incredible gift to be able to talk about my experiences and have conversations that we're just not allowed to have in other parts of our world, like about what our voices say and what they mean to us. So it's been a really great part of my life, and I'm really passionate now about making sure that, you know, wherever someone lives in the United States, that they do have access to one of these groups so that they don't have to move like 900 miles, you know, like I did. You know, I would love to see HBN to be in North Carolina and to be in Indiana and Texas and some of these other states that I lived in where things were, you know, not like that.
And have you seen this have helped other people? What sort of experiences have you seen from other people who it's helped?
So in facilitating my group, there's lots of different things. And I don't really feel comfortable that much talking about individual people, but
yeah,
I'll tell you that sometimes veterans come to the group, and it's the only place they can come and talk about their experience without being judged or without people freaking out around them. And a theme that comes up frequently when people have voices, sometimes they'll have a voice that doesn't age. And if we go back and look at what happened in their life when they're that age, frequently we can figure out why that voice is there. It's usually they're telling them they need to process some stuff that happened.
Yeah, I think one of the most amazing things, one of the things I appreciate most about being in the group is having the experience of people being honored for the wisdom they have. So as voice hearers in our culture, we get a lot of messages that, you know, we don't have a lot to offer, that, you know, we're crazy, we're not very smart, but in a Hearing Voices group, people get to share about their experience and share some of these amazing strategies that they've developed to navigate it. And people really honor that, the fact that, yeah, you've had this experience and it's given you wisdom. Like, I've been in groups where people have shared, like, these incredible meditation techniques that they've developed to communicate with their voices in a more, like, equal and empowered way. People have shared, you know, other really powerful strategies. And, yeah, it, like, you know, the spaces, we honor people as the expert. And it gives people an opportunity to have their wisdom be shared. And I think that can really change people. I know it's changed me.
What's really helpful for me is, for years I was told, you know, what my story was, and that the best I could hope for was to be hospitalized only once or twice in a year. So I had people defining what my future was. And then I went to that group and I met people who had been given similar diagnoses, and they were engaging in life. They were doing things they wanted to do. And then it became possible for me. You know, once I learned that some people can make it through, that was really inspiring for me.
Yeah, I mean, and we want to make sure if there are ways that people want to get, how can people get involved? How can they, you said setting up other chapters, how can they make sure that they can get places like this in their communities?
I would definitely check out the website, hearingvoicesusa.org. We're working on bringing trainings for HVN facilitators to different parts of the country. So Marty and I are headed, we live in Massachusetts, but we're headed to Vancouver, Washington on Saturday to do a training for the first group for veterans in our country. So reaching out about bringing trainings or workshops to your area, it's not required to have a training to start a group, but we do ask that people make themselves familiar with the charter of Hearing Voices USA, and that is also available online. We also do a monthly teleconference for HVN facilitators and aspiring facilitators on the first Friday of every month. And if you want more information about how to join in that monthly dialogue, you can email info@hearingvoicesusa.org.
Great. Is there any other way that people can get involved?
Well, emailing us, and lots of times we talk to people on the phone and email and whatnot, and try to figure out what people are looking for or what resources are available. Sometimes we have people can do a call-in type of group.
It's about, you know, a lot of this begins with sharing our story. So some folks have found it useful to create public events, like in their area, to raise interest and awareness about the Hearing Voices Network. They've shown films like the film Beyond the Medical Model that was created by the Western Mass Recovery Learning Community. Is a great film that features the Hearing Voices Network and explains why it's really important to look at these experiences beyond just the lens of an illness. So once again, you can reach out. People have been doing some amazing things with, like, community dialogues, forums, and films in their area.
That sounds great. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
We're excited to be a part of it, and I guess I would just say your voices are real. They're meaningful, and they're an important part of the human experience, and you're definitely not alone if you have it.
And what I'd like to say is, people need to become the expert of their own experience and to respect the wisdom that they have and to really look at it themselves and not just give over their whole life to somebody who meets with them 15 minutes a month.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you so much. And if there's anything else that we, Jason's Connection, to do, we love what you're doing.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye.